sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up.
Thank you. I was framed, so don't make the same mistakes, nigga. You gotta learn how to shake the snakes, nigga. Cause the police love to break a nigga. Send them upstate. Because they straight up hate the niggas. So what I do is get a crew of zoo niggas. Straight fools into rules and do niggas. That makes sense. Straight fools and the rules to do whatever. And one time had enough of me. I'm still raw. So the law can't fuck with me. They want to send me to the pen, punk, picture that. I stay strapped. Motherfuckers, better get your gat. It ain't easy being me. I can't take it. Life of a celebrity ain't everything they make it. And ever since the movies, these hoes try to do me. And if they can't screw me, they find a way to sue me. Now, can you picture me cooling in a nightclub, nothing but love, but motherfuckers want a mean mug. Since I wear a lot of gold, they plot. Don't know what I got, so they get shot with the hot ones. He actually says, don't know what I got and get shot with the hot ones. And yeah, I want to feel guilty, but these punk motherfuckers trying to milk me. You'll get smacked behind the ear with my phone or my pager. It's beeping while I cut you with a razor. Damn, that's deep. I'm not violent. I'm petrified and nervous.
Message.
I said, I'm not violent. I'm petrified and nervous.
Message.
I got no mercy for these niggas trying to service. But if you catch me out of pocket, then I'm got. You love to shoot a nigga, but you scared to pop a cop. Now drop it. Hey, that was deep. That was very good. Another. That was deserving. Yes. Stand up and clap. Stand up. Stand your ass up and clap. All right. Hey, welcome. Bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzard, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Before I start the show, I want to remind you returning listeners and inform you new listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red-blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on May 14, 2023. Happy Mother's Day. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff
Record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right. Okay. All right. Let me do a quick intro. Hold on. I'm having a little, not technical difficulty. Okay, here's the deal, all right? I have a chair that needs to be replaced. I got loose wiring in my headphones. My board is like, I don't know, man. I sound low. I mean, the meter says I'm low, but when I things are not working properly. But the one thing I did do is, I complained about my chair, is I replaced it because I have a second chair, and I'm using my second chair. Because the other one just keeps shrinking down, and it's annoying the fuck out of me. And also keeps reminding me that, yeah, man, I need to lay off some of them fats. Some of them fats. Watch that diet, man. Watch that diet. Anyways. Okay. Before I continue with news and random, before I get into the core of the show, news and random thoughts, I wanted to share a quick, what time is it? Yeah, a quick, something Pac said, and I'm just going to use it to set the tone for today's episode. All right, so here we go. Yeah, as it loads. Just a sec, as it loads. Oh, damn it. Just a sec. Loading.
And I thought the answer was interesting because I think it speaks to...
One more time. Unmute, motherfucker.
Someone else asked you in the interview, and I thought the answer was interesting because I think it speaks to you and your generation a lot. Someone said, where do you see Tupac 10 years from now? You said, hey, I just want to be alive. That's real for you.
That's so real. I made a metamorphosis. I'm a new person today because I used to strongly and honestly, I feel like I could represent my generation so much because I honestly did not care whether I lived or died. But now I cannot die with people thinking I'm a rapist or a criminal. I can't leave until this is straight. You know, I'm not suicidal. I can't go until y'all really know what time it is. And then after that, boom, it's all over. And we can see, you know, how this shit fall. But that's how it is. And the reason being is because if I can't live free, if I can't live with the same respect as the next man, I don't want to be here. Because God has cursed me to see what life should be like. If God wanted me to be this person and be happy here, he wouldn't let me feel so oppressed. He wouldn't let me feel so trampled on. You know what I'm saying? He wouldn't let me think the things I think. So I feel like I'm doing God's work. You know what I'm saying? Just because I don't have nothing to pass around for people to put money in the bucket don't mean I ain't doing God's work. I feel like I'm doing God's work. You know what I'm saying? Because these ghetto kids ain't God's children. And I don't see no missionaries coming through there. You know what I'm saying? So I'm doing God's work. While Reverend Jackson do his up in the middle class, and he go to the White House and have dinner and pray over the president, I'm up in the hood, you know what I'm saying, doing my work with my folks. And just because I don't live there don't mean I don't go there. I got to go there because I can't hang nowhere else.
Nice. All right. Okay. This concludes the intro. Let's get into it, man. News and random thoughts. Here we go. Damn, that was loud. I'm so sorry. Probably burst your eardrums. All right, okay. Let's go. First item on the docket. Yeah, okay. May 14th. Today is Sunday, and that reminds me. Shit, I gotta speed this shit up, man. This reminds me. Today is Mother's Day. I will be real with y'all, man. Mother's Day is like a complicated day for... I'm part of the demographic population on Earth who Mother's Day is complicated. Now, by all factors, I guess you could say, right? My mother was a great mother. She fulfilled her obligation as a mother. The only thing that's missing is, we were never really friends. I guess my mother was really old school about being a mother. The same, both my parents, they were just old school about parenting. They didn't, you know, came to this country, and they didn't. You know what? They were really old school about their about parenting. And to them, if they the love or old school in the sense that they never felt the need to, like, develop a friendship with their kids. I guess this is one of those things that will only make sense. Like, if you had, like, a great relationship with your mother, the kind that, like, your mother's your best friend, you're not going to understand what I'm getting at. Or maybe, who knows, maybe you were able to see how lucky, how fortunate you were that, oh, wow, that you had a unique relationship, but mine wasn't the same. And it's not just we weren't friends. It was more, she was more like a, like more of an authority figure than any, yeah, that's the relationship. That our relationship was, I'm your mother, I'm your parent, you do as I say. Shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? And if I contradict myself, live with it. If I say something that hurts your feelings, deal with it. If things I don't like, you know, she don't get me wrong, mother, most generous human being on earth. It's like I'm, yeah, okay. I guess I don't know who my audience is when I say this, because I cross path with people who understand what I'm getting at. I tell you what, I'm gonna let this clip play, because Twitter, I mean, not Twitter, TikTok. I don't know how they figured it out, but they start playing. There's been several clips they played about people just expressing their complicated relationship they have with their mother, and how Mother's Day, they can't celebrate Mother's Day like everyone else seems to be able to. Like, I have to get off social media. Mother's Day comes along, I'm not thinking of all the nice things my mom has done for me. I'm just overwhelmed with guilt. Like, our relation was never perfect. It was like, it's guilt. It's I'm not gonna do things right. Like, she ain't the type to embrace happiness. Cause I mean, I'm trying to say this without insult. I mean, there's no way to do it. Everything that I say, everything that I'm saying right now, she wouldn't understand. It wouldn't process. It wouldn't make sense to, which is what is so complicated. Imagine having a relationship with someone and you can't express to them intimate feelings like, hey, you're kind of a stranger to me. Yeah. Anyways, I'm going to play this clip because this TikToker is just expresses better than I can. But here we go.
Me mommy is not my best friend. She's not someone I turn to when I need advice, and that's okay. Mother's Day is always such a strange time. I love seeing everyone's loving posts dedicated to their moms, their rocks, their best friends. I'm glad relationships like that exist. I'm closer to fully accepting that's not the type of relationship I'll ever have. But it always makes me wonder what life would be like if phone calls and texts from my mom caused joy instead of panic. Mm. If being asked how I'm doing didn't come with a hidden agenda.
Right.
If love and support wasn't conditional. There's no manual on how to navigate any of this, especially in our culture. So to all those with a complicated relationship, to those who keep things hush-hush, porque de eso no se habla. To those who are tired of being told, but she's your mom, as if you don't already know. I'm sending you peace, mucho amorcito, y aunque no esté de acuerdo tu mami, I'm proud of you for living life on your own terms. Siempre adelante.
Damn. You know what? I'm going to play another one. She gets it. Yeah, no, TikTok, like, has been on point this morning and just showing me clips of people who just share my understanding, my opinion about the complicated relationship you have with your mother. It's like, it's not a hate relationship. It's just not like everyone else. And trust me, I get it. I'll tell you what. Okay, I'm going to continue. By the way, the content owner, the person who I just played, her name is Anna Paola? Paola. Well, okay, Paola. Yeah, shout out to her for sharing that. You know, and it makes me think about why people like me need to put out content on the internet. It's because we ain't all the same. We're not all the same. Some of us have our unique traits, have our unique struggles that only a few of us could relate. So shout out to Anna Paola for sharing that with us. And I'm going to play another one, man. because I think there's a lot of clips I could play, but there's hold on a second. Where am I? You know, I'm going to take my time with this episode here. Okay, so here we go. Go to my view profile. And it's interesting, eh? None of these content creators, I was going to say, who speak ill about their mothers, are black. But here we go.
Stop telling people who are no contact with their parents that they need to either make things right, they need to talk to their parents, or that's your mom. Like, how can you just not talk to her? I had someone on my live yesterday say that my mom is not guaranteed tomorrow, and that should give me the reason that I need to talk to her. Y'all only know the two stories that I've told y'all. I have 26 years worth of things that have happened. I just know that if it was my husband that was saying or doing the things that my mom has done, that y'all would not be telling me that I need to stay with him and talk to him and make it work. So why is it different when it comes to parents? I don't care who you are. I have boundaries. I'm not gonna let people treat me just whichever way they wanna treat me. Also, keep in mind that me being no contact with my mom was not an easy decision for me. It is not something I wanted to do or that I took lightly. And I'm still not happy about it. I don't want to have this sort of relationship. I don't want to be doing this. But I'm also putting myself first and doing what I feel is best.
Right. Stop on. Telling. Hold on a second. Content creator's name is Chat with Chas. Chats with Chas. Oh, clever. And Chas stands for, yeah. Anyways, yeah. So there were four clips I played today, and I just gave you my top two. Chastity Whittington. There we go. Shout out to these content creators. Man, yeah, I really like the content on TikTok. All right. What else was I going to say? I was just thinking about how I'm seeing the value in this podcast or the stuff that I'm saying is. I was thinking about how when I was explaining myself, I was picturing the people who aren't meant to who wouldn't understand what I'm saying, and that's who I'm speaking to, who I kept picturing myself speaking to, when the truth is, they're not my target audience. Consider yourself fortunate if you're not able to understand what I'm getting at. I'm hoping that it's because the relationship with your mother is so amazing that you can't picture anyone else having, I don't know. Maybe it's a blessing that you can't understand what I'm saying. But yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. It's Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. And your mom does deserve the best. But I mean, while acknowledging that, Happy Mother's Day to those of us who that day of the year is kind of complicated. It's kind of strange for us. There we go. All right. Okay. Next item on the topic list. Hold on a second. All right. Okay. have you guys heard about the been following this? Would you date a bus driver debate? No. Okay. Well, if in case you haven't heard of the origin, what caused it, or where it's coming from, I'm going to play the clip of, let's see if I have any names. Hold on a second.
Would you date a bus driver?
Sorry. Okay, so in front of me is Ebony K. Williams. I'm not sure who she is. And speaking to Iyanla Vazant. There we go. I used to mispronounce her name. Hold on. Let me look up who Ebony K. Ebony K. Williams. Oh, no wonder she's talking shit. Of course you want to date me. Wait, what? All right, Ebony K. Williams. Okay, I'm reading because I don't know. I don't know who she is. I just learned. She just got on my radar because of this debate that she caused, right? Ebony K. Williams is an American lawyer and television host. She co-hosts a late-night talk show, State of the Culture, on Revolt TV. That's Puffy's TV show. She co-hosted a talk show on WABC Radio in New York City and was a co-host on Fox News. You know, whatever. It doesn't mind. I'm getting off topic. Okay, I'm going to play this fucking clip and then share a quick thought. All right? So here we go. Take it away.
Would you date a bus driver? You. Would you date
a bus driver? If he owns the bus. If he owns it. If he owns the bus.
See, that's a problem. Okay. Because the standards and requisites, and I'm not talking about him laying on his sofa playing video games all day.
Hey.
I'm not talking about that. But the standards and the criteria that we use to measure men is off for who we are as women and who they are in this society. I would date a bus driver if he loved driving the bus, if he was a man of integrity, if he was good to his mama, if he treated me well, I would date a bus driver. But we think that it's another human being's responsibility to give us what we need instead of us building together. I can build with a bus driver. I'd have my little stash over on the side in my prenup, but I could build with a bus driver. So I think some of the criteria that we look for in the reality of today keeps us unhappy, keeps us angry, keeps us imbalanced. And then when the men show up, we want to beat them up because they're not living up to our standards and criteria. And it's not working, beloved. It's just not working. So it's not that it's bad or wrong. It's obsolete. It's obsolete. We have to come up with a new way of being. I don't believe in carrying a man. A man has to do for himself.
Okay, you know what? I regret playing this whole clip because what I was trying to get at is, okay, this next talk was inspired by a discussion on Three Guys On podcast. This is the thought that surfaced. And all I was thinking about is how much I hate, capital H-A-T-E, hate dating shows, dating experts, especially for black folks. And, okay, two things. A, I'm not speaking, I am not answering that question. I'm not talking about, she don't want to date the bus driver. That's her business, right? The part that's not mentioned in the clip that I played is homegirl, Ebony K. Williams, said what she said, but then acted like, yo, this is me trying to get black people to, I'm saying this to the benefit of black people. It's one thing to say, I don't date a bus driver. But it's another thing when you're saying, and so should you not. You're pointing fingers at what. Anyway, look, okay, I personally don't like it. It just generates another gender war. It's like we're looking for reasons to beef with each other. We don't look for reasons to build bridges. We look for reasons to burn it down and continue the gender wars. Okay, but to my point, yeah, no, I hate these dating columns because some asshole always wants to suggest, whether it's the Kevin Samuels of the world or whatever, always wants to tell black people what they should be looking for in a relationship. Now, maybe, I think what's going on is I'm developing this knowledge of self. I'm starting to figure out what I want for myself. And one thing is, I stopped playing the game of, what's that game called? Of liking what everyone else likes. That's the game. Now, I'm not the kind of person who focuses a lot on physical appearance or tries to get with the trends. And I used to. Don't get me wrong. I used to follow, okay, what's right or wrong. I stopped doing that. Now, I'm not dating, nor am I seeking to date. But if I was, the person I'm with can't have that kind of mentality. Oh, I'm dating you so you can make me look good. Nah, that's not going to work. That's not going to work for me, man. you know what I mean? Like, I'm saying I need you to have a good career, an education, and blah. Basically, I need to show you off like a fucking prop. You're my symbol that I'm doing something right. I know that shit. Like, what I'm saying is the reason I don't like it is because I'm trying to stay away. No, I am staying away from this whole game of what society wants best for you, especially for black folks, man. Black folks drive me nuts with this shit, man. They like to talk to you about what you're supposed to do. And I don't, sometimes I think, actually, no, this is what happened. I remember after graduating from college, got a job, and then in the government, and then got a house. But all the shit that I was doing was, I felt it was things I was doing just to convince the world that, hey, I'm a mature adult. Just to convince the world that I'm normal. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Okay, anyways. I just hate these dating columns, dating experts, all that. But with that said, I'm also starting to wonder if now on the Three Guys On podcast, they were like, I'm going to use the word criticizing, not attack, but criticizing Ebony K. Williams, right? And no, they were making some great points and if you heard it, you'd be like, yeah, I agree. But what I feel the need to take it the next level to this shit is sometimes I wonder, and maybe there's the producers, but us consumers should get some of the blame for this shit. Like, there's a reason why this fucking bullshit goes viral, because a whole bunch of us want to hear this shit and find and play our position and find, okay, either you hate what she says or agree what she says, but it gives you a reason to give a fuck. Like, shame on us for giving a fuck. That's what I'm trying to get at, man. Like, what she said is some stupid shit that should get dismissed as stupid shit. But no, instead, a lot of us will take in what she says, and one group is like, well, see, what's wrong with black chicks? You know, your standards are too high. Fuck am I going to do owning a bus? You know, and then on the other side, it's women saying, no, she got a point. You niggas ain't shit. You know what I mean? It's just content for the internet in the end. In the end, I'm just saying that shame on us consumer for listening to this shit. For look at me, the fact that I'm actually, to be honest with you, I wasn't gonna bring this shit up, but hearing that conversation on the Three Guys On podcast, by the way, great podcast. I'm plugging it at the same time. I'm also telling you that hey, if you're looking for another podcast to check out, you should check theirs out for sure. Yeah, while listening to them, it had me thinking about why are we putting all this blame, like, made me consider that maybe the producer shouldn't be the one just get, look, Ebony K, I can tell Ebony K. Williams is just trying to be famous, is just trying to go viral, is trying to get her name out there. And I think when she started out with the, I wouldn't date a bus driver. They probably just started out, yeah, no, that's not my thing. I'm into men who don't need 9-to-5. Like, money works for them. Like, she probably started out with that, and then when she saw the traction that she was getting, then she added the whole, yeah, man, I'm trying to help our nation. Look, there's a lot of money to be made in putting bullshit out on the internet. I guess that's what I'm saying, right? Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's it. I'm not mad at anyone except for dating columns. And I'm mad at my younger self for buying into this bullshit. Speaking of which, next item. It's, what did I write? I wrote, being celebrated for what you're not. All right. For those of you who don't know, I'm watching the TV series, This Is Us. And I'm at season 2, episode 8, and I promise not to put any spoilers in there. I'm not even going to mention characters' name whatsoever, but okay. I'm going to talk about season 2, episode 8. My intention is not to give any spoilers, but, you know, I can understand if you feel the need to not risk it whatsoever. But it is kind of a known show. Anyways, I was watching that episode, and one of the characters, now, I should add the fact that I was high when I was watching it, And and when I say that I was high, it's just another way of saying that I was feeling things more than I would usually. Like, I was absorbing, immersing myself in the show, in the emotions that the characters were on the TV show are expressing. There's a lot of emotion on this show, if you don't know. All right? And it had me thinking about what it must be like to be celebrated, to be loved by general public for what you're not. Basically, you're making you a fraud. You know you're a fucking fraud, but the rest of the world ain't seeing that. They just see the opposite, right? And what did I write? I said, imagine feeling like a fraud while people celebrated you. We all want to be celebrated. I want to be celebrated. What I don't know is to what point. So let's say I miraculously, this podcast is launched and people love it just because I start expressing. Basically, I figured out the enigma and how to go. I figured out what goes viral, right? And that allows me to, okay, fuck that. I'm going to scratch that, right? I become a rapper, a gangster rapper, and I go platinum by some miracle, right? Now I'm walking down the street. People are looking at me like I'm the next Tupac. But deep down inside, I know that I ain't no Tupac. I ain't no gangster. What it must be like. And I think about it is because, I won't lie, a part of me, maybe it's the ego, a part of me does want to be celebrated, does want to be like, have an audience. I want to be the guy, oh shit, you're B-Black? Okay, let me get your autograph. Oh shit, you could just cut in line, getting that fake love from the public. What I can't tell you is to what degree. So with this podcast, right? I think about it, it has me thinking about how, with this podcast, I have to eternalize, accept for myself that I'm not trying to be popular. I'm trying to be real on this shit. And there's no guarantee this thing will work. I'm just trying to say what I want to say, the things I want to put. I just want to put it out there. And if it so happens that one human being can vibe to it, then that's my satisfaction. I mean, that's it. I mean, I guess that's the goal I set for myself. But, I won't lie to you. I would love for this podcast to be my 9-to-5. I would love for to be known for, wow. I just finished watching the special, Anna Gadsby special, what you call it this time? Hannah Gadsby. Like, and the reason I bring her up, okay, I'm trying to remember her. The name of her show is called, nope, not Nanette. Nanette is the last one. It's called, what's the latest on Netflix? Career Joy calling out Netflix. Oh, something special. Anyways, it was Sorry about that. Damn, that must have hurt. Yeah, anyways. And it guys be something special. And, why am I bringing it up? Oh, right, because Anna Gadsby, what I love about, she figured out her audience. Her audience are grateful for her content. She didn't look like, okay, what do people want to hear? Okay, she didn't say, I want to be like a Chappelle. No, not at all. Or I want to be like, what's the other Australian comedian there? I really be, you're going to forget his name. What's the name of that white boy? Australian comedian, really? Jim Jefferies, right? She didn't do what every other comedian does. No, she's speaking from her own experience. And her audience, like, I don't know if the word is niche, you know, this is my limited vocabulary, but she figured out who her tribe is, right? And they love her for it. Like, okay, you know what, Hannah, not that I mentioned, I don't know if you could measure success by money, but fuck it, I will. Net worth, okay? All from 1 million. My point is, she's fucking successful doing her shit, right? And I won't lie to say that I would love to achieve that success. But at what cost? I feel like this is where, you know, selling your soul to the devil for success. Like, would I be able to live with myself? Would I be able to accept? Would I be able to accept all this fame at the cost of feeling like a fraud? And I think I would, because, you know, there's a lot of drugs out there. You know what I mean? I mean, I would do it. I would consume a lot of drugs to do it. Okay, I'm getting off topic. What I'm really trying to get at is, in this episode of This Is Us, Season 2, Episode 8, is that what I said? The writers, the act, everyone involved did a great job in showing me a part of the world, a pain that I can't relate to. That, like, for the first time, what the character was going through, what that character was going through is, I think, what a lot of pretty people, privileged people, folks who just get it, like, I'm just gonna, okay, not complicate things. Pretty people, privileged people go through. And it's like, shit, being worshipped for something that you're not. Like, being loved for who you're not. Would you prefer being hated for who you are? Can you handle that? Being hated for who you are versus being loved for who you're not. And I guess what that episode had me thinking about is, I see, like, a part of me sometimes in a moment of weakness wants to be loved for who I'm not, just to get that love. But I get how at a certain point, once the drugs wear off, you're not going to like yourself. And you're going to get irritated at the people who just don't get it. Like, people are calling you, oh my God, you're a genius. Oh, you're beautiful. Oh, you're excellent. You're all these things that you can't seem to accept for yourself. De La Soul, I think it was Trugoy who said that. He goes, I got fans around the world, but my girl ain't one of them. Now, I'm saying, imagine having fans all over the world, but you look in the mirror and you can't get yourself to be your own fan, to be your only fan. Get it? Only fan, eh? Anyone get it? Hold on a second. This one deserves a only fan. All right, no, never. All right, okay. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's all I'm going with. It was, can't be easy. I guess that's what I'm getting at. It can't be easy. All right. I think I was able to, in two swoops, by this segment, I'm able to tell you that I watched an episode of This Is Us and the Hannah Gadsby show. You know the thing the problem with a grown man like myself admitting that he watched a Hannah Gadsby special is, now I gotta walk the street and watch my back, because niggas gonna wanna test me. People gonna wanna fight. So, yeah, you watch Hannah Gadsby, nigga? Fuck this, man. Fuck that. Toxic masculinity. I fucking hate it. Yeah. All right, man. Yo, shout out to the fellas who watch, who are fans of Hannah Gadsby. And fuck Dave Chappelle for dissing her. I know he was just being an edgelord. She didn't even bring that up in her podcast, because she's in her own lane. But the lane that she's on gets no respect from the lane that Dave Chappelle is currently on. Yeah, I know. He makes jokes for people who are like, hey, if it's different, it's not good. If I don't like it, then you shouldn't like it. Like, yeah, man. So, you know what? Much success to you, Hannah. And I loved your last special. All right. Okay. Last item. What time is it? Keep going. Okay. Oh, shit. I got to remember. Yeah. I got to call takeout for my mom. That's my present to her. I'm ordering takeout, Ubering something she likes from her. Whatever. I don't need to know this shit. Okay. Now, this next clip is by...
Let's talk about...
Pause, okay? Literally pause. Okay. Done all rights. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Hold on a second. Done all rights. This has got a fire take. Another done all right take. All right. So what I like is for the first time, he's going to comment on something TD Jakes said. And I love it because back in when I was in my Christian days, I used to be a huge fan of TD Jakes. And then all of a sudden, the more I got to know him, and I'm like, oh, man, you ain't special. You're just like everyone else. So, sorry, clip just distracted me. Whatever. Right. And it's in reference to TD Jakes saying some stupid shit about, because, you know, like every other Christian, about how raising our women to be men. And Donald take, like, 2 minutes, whatever, fuck it. Just says, yeah, I'm going to call this another dope take by Donnell Wright. I'm sorry. Donnell Wright / Church Ratchetness. And Church Ratchetness is a segment that I dedicate to talk shit about the church. All right, so here we go.
About the TD Jakes video.
It's gonna be rough this morning, bro.
Recently, a clip of TD Jakes went viral in which he makes a critique of gender role dynamics in contemporary society.
We are raising up women to be men, and you are not applauded for your femininity. You are applauded in the contemporary society by how tough, rough, nasty, mean, aggressive, hateful, possessive you are, and you are climbing the corporate ladder, but we are losing our families.
And as always, what I'm gonna share is less about one person than it is about church culture as a whole. The message was preached on Father's Day of this year and was entitled Real Men Pour In. It was largely about role inflexibility, that both men and women have unique divine designs that when disrupted causes things to fall apart. He said this has been an issue since Adam and Eve.
If Adam had not allowed Eve to pour into him, sin would have never come into the world.
And he connects this patriarchal interpretation of the creation story to contemporary society.
Your self-esteem is compromised when you have to ask your wife for lunch money. When Adam started eating out of his wife's hand, sin came in because the divine order was broken.
There's so much to say on this, but here's a few points. TD Jakes said that women are being raised to be men, and these are the traits he goes on to associate with masculinity.
Tough, rough, nasty, mean, aggressive, hateful, possessive.
He then says that women have to create space for men to pour into their lives from their rightful masculine roles. He basically says women have to shrink themselves in order for men to come in and be their leaders. And my question is, why is it the responsibility of women to shrink themselves in order to make space for men? It's because this is not about women being raised to be men or climbing the corporate ladder. It's about control. In the eyes of patriarchy, there can be no relationship without control. Men aren't shying away from marriage and relationships. They want those things. And studies show that they're happier when they have them. That's why they've created entire platforms dedicated to educating and teaching women about their roles. It is women that are opting out of toxicity, control, and suppression under patriarchy. Women are opting out of all the traits Pastor TD Jakes associated with masculinity for their own sake. Can I be very clear? Women are not inferior to men and they don't want to be treated as such. Right. Women by and large want partnership. Men under patriarchy want servitude and submission. And that is the disconnect. And this kind of role inflexibility is rooted in white supremacy. Messages like these leave women in the church vulnerable to violence and abuse, and create space for men to theologically rationalize that abuse. And as a man whose church was both built and sustained by black women, TD Jakes and others like him need to be far more mindful of their theology and words. Feel free to leave your thoughts in the comments and like and follow for more content.
She told me I'd be on the road. Oh, baby, I miss you. I can't wait for you to come home. I thought, I flew home with visions. She kissed me, say, I'm so glad you home. And went back to watching Lifetime Murders. I went in my man cave. I thought about killing her. I thought that, no, that wouldn't be the right thing to do.
I don't know. That's, oh, right. Okay. Okay. Thought about killing her. Yeah. That was funny. Sorry. That was meant to be funny, I guess, or whatever. Right. Look. Oh, sorry. I was reading one of the comments. It says, Jesus Christ. Iyanla and now TD Jakes fist up and we will now bow down. Look, I think what I'm trying to get to the core of why I like Donnell's. It's like, okay, there's, I love what Donnell's take on this, while at the same time why I hated T.D. Jakes' message. And it just had me thinking, look, man, I'm angry, man. I'm going through a lot of fucking unlearning in my life. I'm trying to be a better person. And I'm thinking about how much the church played a big role in my inability to understand that marriage is a partnership. I suppose it's not being the man of the house, being the boss, and oppress it, as he puts it, you know. And it's not about getting a woman to serve you and, what's the other one? Serve and basically shut the fuck up. It's like, you know, shrink. Serve and shrink. There was another one. Whatever. So if I'm mad at T.D. Jakes, it's just because he's pushing that old school bullshit notion of, like, it's because he reminds me how much I hate the church. You know, part of this hatred I have with the church is I think of, I was just talking about the complexity of the relationship with my mother. And I believe that she figured that, hey, I gave you life, and I gave you Jesus. Sorry, I gave you life, I performed my role as a mother, and cherry on the top, I gave you Jesus. That's all I needed to do. I would have traded religion I would have traded Christianity for, it's like, I think I'm blaming Christianity for my mom's inability to understand that I wasn't looking for her to be a role. I was looking for her to be understanding, like being able to communicate. Like I remember the first time hearing that, hey, how the women out there measure the way, this is all coming around. Okay. There are women out there who look at your relationship with your mother to decide whether you'd be a good husband. Well, if that's your criteria, yeah, I'm going to score very low on your card, which brings me back to what I was saying. Yeah. Dating for me, if I were to find a partner, the rules society has set up for us, like, as a male, this is what you're supposed to do. As a woman, this is what you're supposed to do. Ain't gonna work for us. Like, we gotta do a lot of, for me, I need to link up with someone who thinks outside of the box, because the templates, the tools, the shit that I was raised with, that Christianity shit, like, I had to throw it out the window. All of it? Yeah, pretty much all of it. I mean, the one thing, you know, I probably held on to, like, the theory, but not the, you know what, for the sake of conversation, I threw most of that bullshit archaic, but look, man, let's not forget, Christianity is, like, made white supremacy, made it possible. There's a lot of toxicness in Christian teaching and all that bullshit, so I'm just saying, man, if you can't see it, then I won't argue with you. I won't argue with you about it, but I'm just going to, we go our separate way. We just need to go our separate ways. You know what? I'm dying to click on this clip that I found, and it goes, what's it, J. Cole?
J. Cole wasn't capping when he said,
these days, seeing rappers be dying way before they even getting their shine. I never even heard a little buddy till somebody murder a little buddy. Now I'm on the phone searching little buddy name. Got a play in his tunes all day in my room. Thinking, damn, this shit wicked to get their names buzzed. Some niggas just gotta go lay in a tomb. And media thirsty for clicks. I got a new rule. If you ain't ever posted a rapper when he was alive, you can't post about him after he get hit. What? It's simple. It's the principle. On any tempo, I'm invincible. Don't even rap. I just spit to you. I'd rather that than an interview. Most days, fuck them all like I'm going through a whole phase. Uh-huh. Young niggas shoot out the whip like road rage. I pray what? All of my dogs stay so paid. And the only thing to kill them is old age.
All this time. We gonna make it. Yeah, okay. This is me trying to break a record today. hold on a second. Yeah, okay. I heard it this week, this J. Cole track with Lil Durk. It's called All My Life. It's really dope, really dope. But but it's just another, like, but it's like Nas, I Know I Can. I mean, not the lyrics, but, you know, having kids singing in the background and doing church shit and shit. Well, whatever. All right, okay. Let's jump to final thoughts, and then I let you get the fuck out of here, all right? So here we go, okay? Yeah, here we go. Yeah, all right, okay. I was going to take a break to order that Uber Eats, but you know what? 20 minutes. I should be done in 20 minutes, man. All right, less than 20 minutes, but here we go, okay? Final thoughts. Now, before I tell you what's up with today's title and intro verse, I'm going to read something by Alisa Boye. Now, Life by Alisa. Oh, my God. Is it Alisa or Alicia? Alisa, Alicia. Whatever, man. So she's a self-proclaimed, highly sensitive person, mentor. And at first, I wasn't... Okay, don't get me wrong. I follow her on Instagram. Look, homegirl knows how to grind. She can fucking grind. She knows how to stay... Basically, she's on my Instagram, and I follow her, and her content just constantly... show up, and when it shows up, it's something that's relevant. I'm like, fuck, I need to share. Like, I gotta give her props for that. With that said, I'm just a little uneasy on how she managed to monetize this shit. Being a highly sensitive person, I guess that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's not meant to be. I feel like the white guy say I'm not being racist here, but I'm saying it's not meant to be a shot against her, but it's just me like honoring my. Maybe if we had a conversation, if I had a conversation with her, it would make more sense. But for me, it just feels a little weird. I'm talking shit, eh? Okay, if you're feeling weird about what she's saying, then why are you sharing her content? I get it. Yeah, I know it feels like a contradiction. I'm just putting it out there. All this to say, now this, she posted something that I felt the need to share. I felt the need to share, and the title goes, self-abandonment happens at an early age for most highly sensitive people. And, all this to say that, yo, if you like what you're hearing, then check out her content, right? This is just me saying, this is not an endorsement. This is just me saying, I appreciate this piece of content. So here we go. Self-abandonment may look like people-pleasing, never having an opinion and always putting others' needs first. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The reason I'm sharing this comment because I remember one of my episodes was based on the song Can You Stand the Rain and what it's like to abandon yourself, to give up on your own self. So that's why this got my attention. Okay, so I'll keep reading. As a sensitive, empathetic children, we wanted to be accepted, loved, and liked. We wanted our parents to be happy with us. We didn't want to be difficult or annoying or seen as too much. Many of us then learn to bite our tongues and not share what's bothering us because we don't want to be a burden. Amen, sister. But what happens when we deny our needs over and over again and that we lose trust with ourselves? We start to become someone that we don't trust and can rely on. Damn, she's saying, okay, hit the nail with that one. Our internal world begins to feel shaky, and so we look externally for all our answers, which just perpetuates a story of I can't trust myself. This looks like asking 258 people for an opinion about what you should wear to a party or which job you should choose, or taking advice from someone like Ebony K. Williams. If you're giving away your autonomy to others and asking them for all the answers, you're basically telling yourself, hey, I don't trust you. Damn. This is hitting home. You're not equipped to figure this out on your own. Other people know better than you. So we do this and we wonder why we feel so insecure and don't have any self-confidence. We wonder why it's so hard for us to speak up at work, whereas our less sensitive coworkers seem to raise their hands easily and blurt out every answers that come to mind. To us, the risk of being seen feels too great. It feels too scary to say something wrong and be looked at sideways. We're looking always thinking people are judging us. Oh my God, why would she ask such a stupid question? When in reality, no one is thinking about us that much. As highly sensitive people, we're often self-critical, and with that comes a lot of overanalyzing, staying in our heads, and not taking the steps we need to take in order to really trust ourselves. The antidotes to this is learning to take small, calculated risks. We can do this in little moments like letting the nail technician know that the water is way too hot for you. When your friend is 30 minutes late, telling her you actually can't stick around and wait if it doesn't work in your schedule. If the waiter brings you the wrong food, actually letting them know instead of disappointingly eating it. Every time we keep our mouths closed and don't advocate for ourselves, it's like we're casting a vote for the other person we don't want to be. We're casting a vote for lack of self-trust, for I'm not worth sticking up for, and in order to change that internal perception, we have to take external action. Wow, you know what? I'm grateful that I read this. Because I think that's why my therapist is encouraging me to podcast. It's because that's exactly what I'm doing here. Is every time we keep our mouths closed, don't advocate for ourselves. I'm advocating for myself on this podcast. I just realized that. Casting a vote for the person we don't want to be. Wow. Okay. Powerful. Powerful, powerful, powerful. So this is me. Oh, wow. You just talk. Okay, man. All right, man. Look, I'm going to tell you this. Look, she knows what she's talking about. It's just so weird that maybe it's a sign of jealousy on my part. It's so weird that she figured out how to monetize, that she's able to monetize this shit. It's just, that's what my mind can't wrap its head around it, you know? But then again, I am broke. What do I know about making money? All right. Okay. So let's end with what's up with the title and the intro verse. Now, I just remembered that a lot of you probably listen to cherry pick the episodes that you listen to. And I don't know if you're binge listening to these podcasts, but for those of you who happen to be binge watching these podcasts, today's title episode is in reference to, I'm trying to remember what I called the last one again. It's in, not in reference, but it's in, Dying in a Gunfight. All right, okay. So last episode was called Dying in a Gunfight, and this one is Petrified and Nervous. Now, the last episode was going to be called Petrified and Nervous. There was a debate. This episode, there was a debate between, initially, it was going to be called Gunshot and Laughter, and then it just last minute change, because it's my podcast, I could do that shit. Last minute change, I went with Petrified and Nervous. The title I thought was going to be for the last one. And the reason where I was going with this is, one, to capture my mood. I talked about how I just noticed about myself that when I get a certain level of, when I'm feeling a certain level of anger within myself, I have this habit of using curse word and images of violence to express that anger. Like, it's not as simple as me to just say, I'm angry. No, I have to say, I want to fuck this nigga up. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I speak. But what I love about that line is how Tupac says, "I'm not violent. I'm petrified and nervous." Like if I am acting violent or if I am creating this perception of being violent, it's because I'm trying to protect myself. And it also has me thinking about how I'm trying to tap into this vulnerability that, really be, you gonna forget her name? What's her name? Power, God damn it, of vulnerability. I was talking about her for the whole time. Oh my God, Brené Brown. Brené Brown was talking about, I'm trying to tap into that vulnerability. See, I'm realizing that I'm in a situation that's making me angry. And part of that anger comes from the fact that I'm not the violent type. That I need to come to terms with the fact that I can't resolve this issue the way I would like to resolve it. And and this week is, I find myself wondering, how do mature adults settle beef? Not just settle. I don't mean like, I'm talking about, let's say you want to take the life of another human being, but you know, it's illegal, whatever, right? Let's say you have enough rage in yourself to want to take the life out of another human being and the only thing stopping you is the law. How do you handle that rage? How do mature people handle that shit? That's what I'm thinking about, right? I don't know how, I didn't go into details, right? But I work in one of those stupid, those fucking organizations that tell you, you know, we are committed against racism. And they do some shit that contradicts that commitment. And I'm angry at my employer for putting me in this situation. It's a little bit more complicated than that, but it has to do with racism. And actually worse than racism, like some psychopathic racism shit. But I guess I'm in a situation where I'm trying to resolve beef in a way that, in a legal manner. That's what I'm trying to get at. That's what I'm trying to say. And if I don't, then I'm not going to feel happy. You know, I guess that's it. A lot of my titles will sound violent. But I know when I look back, the idea is when I look back at these episodes and I see this title, I will remember how I felt how I recorded. I mean, I'm doing better. Trust me, I'm doing a lot better than I did on the last episode, Dying in a Gunfight. Even though Dying in a Gunfight was just me saying that, you know, I'm committed to fighting and as opposed to cowering. So here we are, man. Petrified and nervous, line from Tupac, and it's just me saying that I'm not violent. I'm just, you know, feeling a little type of way right now. All right, with that said, hey, guess what? My nose is clogged again. And it annoys me at that, man. Okay, I need a better recording studio. Okay, stop bitching. But I'm going to start asking for donations, man, because this shit can't continue. Pastor needs an upgrade. All right, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. To talk to me, you can DM me on Twitter, at BBlizzak or at Shut Up Podcast. Or, you know what? I don't believe I haven't done this before. Or on TikTok at B.Black. Is it complicated? B.Black. Am I giving you too many acronyms to remember? But yeah, I'm on TikTok, folks. I don't post shit. At some point I need to, but I don't post shit at the moment. But if you want to hire me on TikTok, it's B.Black. All right, website is shutuppodcast.com. Go there to find the show notes. And also, you can holler at me through there because there's a contact us page on there. Or if you're old school, you can use Shut Up Podcast. Email me at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed on the website. Or find me on Google and Apple Podcasts. Yo, thank you for listening. And remember, B Be kind to your favorite podcast. Yeah. Peace.